All right, I want you to open your Bibles today to the book of 2 Corinthians. I'll be preaching to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. Now, here's our subject. In the event that you want to order the tape and hear it again or share it with someone, I'm preaching today on the subject, all things are of God. All things are of God. And if you'd like to follow in your Bibles, I'll be using 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. I have a friend who has been pastor of the same church out in the Midwest for almost 50 years. And he told me several years ago that one of his deacons, one of his faithful friends and church members, brothers of many years, was in the hospital and not expected to live. And the pastor went down to visit with him. And they talked a while together, and then they had prayer together. Just before the pastor left, he took this dear friend by the hand and looked into his eyes, and he said, "I want to ask you a question before I leave." He said, "Friend, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Do you have a good hope of eternal life when you leave this earth?" And this man looked at this dear pastor who preached to him for many years. And he said, "Pastor, I am, if you told me the truth, because I believe the gospel that you preached. And if you're preaching the gospel, that's the saving gospel and the gospel of God, then I have a good hope because I believe that gospel." When I heard that story, I thought about what a responsibility is upon those who preach the gospel. What a responsibility. The Apostle Paul wrote once, "Necessity is laid upon me. I must preach the gospel. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." I wonder if those who preach the gospel today can say with the Apostle Paul, what did he say to the elders at Ephesus before he left them? Paul was speaking to these elders of the church of Ephesus. He was leaving them, and he said, never to return. He said, "You'll never see my face again." He was going to Rome, and he had been warned by God and by the Spirit of God that he would be put in prison and he would be martyred. And he said to these men, "You'll never see my face again." But he said, listen to these four things. He said, "I have served you in the gospel with genuine humility. I've served you in the gospel with genuine humility. You know what manner of man I have been among you for the sake of Christ." And secondly, he said, "I've kept back nothing profitable unto you, neither for reward or because of fear or because of hatred or popularity. I've kept back nothing that's profitable unto you." And thirdly, he said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What God taught me, I taught you. What God revealed to me, I preached to you. I've kept back nothing profitable unto you, and I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And then the fourth thing he said is this, "And I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel." That's not been my objective. It's not been my thought. I have not coveted anything. I have preached to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I preach as one who may never preach again. I preach as one who must give an account to God, not only for what I preach, but for how I preach. But my friend, by the same token, you are hearing as one who may never hear again. And you are hearing as one who must give an account to God. Every man shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And our Lord warned us not only about preaching the truth, but he warned us about how to hear. Take heed how you hear. Take heed. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And my prayer, as I speak on this subject this morning, or preach any time that I'm speaking to you on this program, I have a twofold prayer. One is this: Lord, let me preach the glorious good news and gospel of Jesus Christ in truth, in simplicity, in power, in wisdom for the glory of Christ. Let me be an instrument in the hands of the Spirit of God to preach the truth in power, in simplicity, in wisdom to the people who hear me and myself. The second part of that prayer is this. Let those who hear me not only hear me, not only hear my voice, but may they hear God speak. May they hear God speak by His Spirit through His Word. That's our prayer. You see, if my voice is the only voice you hear, then there'll be nothing of any eternal value in this message for you. We've got to hear Him who speaks through His Word. We've got to hear God who speaks through His ministry. You see, somebody wrote a poem one time that went like this. We have listened to the preacher, and truth by him has been shown. But we need a greater teacher from the everlasting throne, because revelation is the work of God alone. So while I take heed how I preach and what I preach, and you take heed how you hear and what you hear, we're shut up to the Spirit of God, making the Word effectual, not only to our minds and our understanding, but to our hearts and to saving faith. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with this prayer on our hearts. In sincerity, in solemnity, hearing as for eternity. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. Now, our text begins with a mighty theme. It begins with a bold statement. Learn this and then go on from there. What is the statement? Look at your Bible there, 2 Corinthians 5, 18. It says this, and all things are of God. All things are of God. All things in creation are of God. It says in Revelation, O Lord, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. All things are of God in creation. He made it as it pleases Him. And then secondly, all things are of God in providence. The Scripture says the Lord maketh poor, and the Lord maketh rich. The Lord bringeth low, and the Lord lifteth up. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. He said all the hairs of your head are numbered. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. There are no accidents with God. God moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. God rules and overrules all things. And by Him all things are held together. By Him all things consist. All things are of God in creation, in providence, in life and death. Did you know that? Job said, man's days are determined. The number of his months are with the Lord. God has set His bounds. He cannot pass. 1 Samuel chapter 2 says, the Lord killeth. The Lord maketh alive. The Lord bringeth down to the grave. The Lord raiseth from the dead. All of the issues of life and death are in the hands of the Lord. He numbers our days. All things in creation, all things in providence, all things in life and death are of God. Learn that. Don't go any further till we learn that. That's the way Paul starts this part of the Scripture off. And all things are of God. And then fourthly, all things in salvation are of God. Jonah summed it up in Jonah 2 verse 9. He said, salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. I preach that, salvation's of the Lord, from beginning to end, from Alpha to Omega and all in between. I know all men do not preach that salvation's of the Lord, but I know this, when they pray that way. They say, Lord, save us. He's the only one who can. They say, Lord, deliver us. He's the only one who can. Lord, make your word to be effectual. He's the only one who can. Lord, bless the message to the hearts of the people. He's the only one who can. All things are of God. Now you learn this and you learn who God is. And when you learn who God is, we learn who we are. All things are of God. When we learn this, we learn how to worship. How to glorify God. How to speak respectfully and reverently of God. How to hold God in awe and fear. You see, back in the Old Testament, when they talked about worship, they talked about the fear of the Lord. Abraham feared God, saying Abraham worshiped God. We learn this, we learn how to pray. All things are of God. We learn how to come before Him and worship. We learn the gospel of His mercy and of His grace when we learn that all things are of God. Past, present, and future. All things are of God. Let me ask you some questions. Now sit there a minute now and listen and think. Let me ask you some questions. Who planned and purposed salvation? Who planned it? Who purposed it? The answer is God did. All things are of God. Well, when did God plan and purpose salvation? When? Well, the Scripture says before the foundation of the world. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The gospel is the everlasting gospel. The covenant of mercy is the everlasting covenant. Third question. Why did God plan salvation? Why did He? Well, Ephesians 1, 3 times says He did it to the praise of the glory of His grace. And He says in Ephesians 2 that He might gather together all things in Christ, that He might show the exceeding riches of His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's why He purposed to save a people, for His glory. Who sent Jesus Christ into the world? God did. All things are of God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Who sent Him to the cross? Somebody said, did the Jews crucify Christ or did the Romans crucify Christ? Or who crucified Christ? Listen. Wicked men nailed Him to that cross, but they did what God determined before it to be done. The Scripture says it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. He said, for this cause came I into the world, and for this cause came I to this hour. God Almighty sent Him to the cross to die for our sins. Who raised Him from the dead? God did. Who chose you to salvation? Are you saved? Yes, the preacher, I am. Who saved you? God did. Did you choose God or did He choose you? Paul said, I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Who quickened you from the dead? Who quickened me from the dead? But you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. All things are of God. Who begat in us spiritual life? Who gave us life? You must be born again. By whose power are we born again? By whose will are we born again? Not by human blood, not by the will of the flesh, not by the will of man, but of God. Of His own will begat He us through the word of truth. Who called us to faith in Christ? God did. Whom He hath foreknown, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. Who revealed Christ to us? How did we find out who Christ is and why He came and what He did and where He is now? God revealed Him. Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal His Son in me, all things are of God. Who keeps us from falling? Who keeps us from perishing in unbelief? Who keeps us from falling under our trials and just being annihilated with depression? Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before His throne with exceeding glory. Unto Him who loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood. God did. Who's going to raise me from the grave? Who's going to make me like Christ and take me to glory? Paul said, I'm confident. He wrote to the Philippians. He said, I'm confident that He that hath begun a good work in you will finish it in the day of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 3, he said, God will change our vile bodies that they may be fashioned like unto His glorious body according to His power, whereby He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. All things are of God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, O Lamb of God, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hath redeemed us from God to God. Out of every nation, tongue, kindred, tribe, under heaven. So you have to start there. If you're going to go the rest of the way through this Scripture, start there and learn that. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God. by His purpose, through His Son, for His glory. It's a gift. Look at the next line. All things are of God. Now watch this. Who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Now you talk about the gospel being hemmed up and summed up in one statement. This is the good news. Read it slowly. All things are of God, the living God, the holy God, the almighty God of heaven and earth. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us. He's made us friends who were enemies. He's forgiven our iniquities who were great sinners. He's put away our transgressions, past, present, and future. He has accomplished an atonement by His own blood and made us one with Christ. That's right. God hath reconciled. You reconcile enemies. You don't reconcile friends. You reconcile enemies. We were enemies. That's what Ephesians said. Without God, without help, without Christ, without hope in this world. Enemies, children of wrath, even as others. And now He's reconciled us like the prodigal son was reconciled to his father. Look at that slowly. God hath reconciled us, you and me. Chief of sinners, God hath reconciled us. Who am I, David said, that you should show mercy to a fellow like me? And He has reconciled us. Now watch this. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. Not the law didn't do it. We didn't do it. The church didn't do it. God did it. He reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ. By the life of Christ, His obedience is our sanctification. By the blood of Christ, His death is our justification. Now watch this third line here. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Through Christ, by Christ, because of Christ, and hath given to us this ministry of reconciliation. God hath called us and sent us and entrusted us with this gospel of His glorious grace in Christ Jesus. I'm preaching to you the good news, the glad tidings, a proclamation of freedom, forgiveness, and life. And we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. I'm just a man like you. I've got no special powers. I can't save. I can't put away sin. I can't heal. The power is invested in Christ. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I have this treasure in an earthen vessel, in a clay pot. You know why? First of all, that the power might be of God and not of us. And secondly, that you might trust God and not the preacher. We are the children of God who worship God in spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, mine, yours, or anybody else's. You see, God hath committed to us this gospel of reconciliation, this message, this good news of reconciliation. He's entrusted us with this gospel, and He's put it in an earthen vessel that the power might be not of the vessel, but of Him who speaks through the vessel. And that your faith might stand not in the wisdom of men. You don't believe anything because I say it. You believe it because God said it. You don't believe anything because I do. You believe it because Christ taught you that truth. That you might trust Him. It pleased God, you see, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not the preaching of foolishness. That's what's going on today, the preaching of foolishness. This is a whole different thing here by the foolishness of preaching. The world calls it foolishness. The preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. But to us that are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And God hath chosen by this what men call foolishness, the preaching of His glory, His gospel, His grace, His Son, to save them that believe. Now look at verse 19. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us this message, this word of reconciliation. Namely, see that little word, to wit, right there in verse 19, to wit. That means namely. In other words, Here it is. I'm going to define it. This gospel of reconciliation, this word of reconciliation that God has put in us, I'm going to define it for you, Apostle. Here it is. I'm going to explain it to you. To wit, namely, here it is. God was in Christ. Who? God was in Christ. That man, born of Mary, man-child, born of Mary, lying in the manger in Bethlehem, that's God in human flesh. That young boy brought up in Nazareth, working in his father's carpenter shop, who, when he was 12 years of age, was taken to Jerusalem according to the law of the Jewish religion. That young man is God in human flesh. That man, Jesus of Nazareth, who walked the streets of Jerusalem and Judea, Capernaum and Bethsaida, that's Jesus Christ. That's God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God was in Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in human flesh. God was in Christ. Oh, yeah. What was God doing in Christ? He was reconciling the world to Himself. What world is this? People of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven. Christ represented a people. More than the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, He represented a people, a number which no man can number. In Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. He reconciled people from every tongue, tribe, kindred, and nation under heaven, of every age, of every color. But all come to God by Him. I didn't say of every religion. I said of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue. But they all have one religion. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, one mediator between God and men. One, and that's Christ Jesus. No man comes to the Father but by Him. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. To Himself. God was angry. God was angry. God hated the workers of iniquity. God's angry with the wicked. And Christ came down and took that enmity and that anger away by satisfying God's law and honoring God's justice. And God's not angry anymore. Isaiah said, "Thou wast angry with me, and you've taken it away. Reconcile me to yourself." To yourself, Christ hath suffered the just for the unjust to bring us to God. God welcomes and receives us. Listen, not imputing their trespasses to them. Not charging their sin. Their sin's not charged against us. Paul wrote to Philemon, his friend down there in Colossae. And he said, "Philemon, this runaway slave, Onesimus, has been converted. He's heard me preach and he's come to know God, come to know Christ. Now I'm sending him back to you." And he said, "If he's stolen from you and wronged you in any way, you charge it to me. I'm your friend, and I'll pay. You charge it to me. You receive him scot-free. You receive him with no strings attached. You receive him as you receive me. If he's done you wrong, charge it to me." And that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ brings all for whom He died to God. He says, "Father, charge it to me. Charge it to me." Not imputing their trespasses unto them, but charging them to Christ. Now watch this. "And hath committed to us," or in us, "the word of reconciliation." God has committed this word not only to us, but in us. We receive it. We believe it. We rejoice in it. And we rest in it. Now watch verse 20. "We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." See, we are ambassadors. God sends us as ambassadors to preach the gospel. If you hear the gospel, you're going to hear it from a man. And here's a man telling you how the good news, how God redeems sinners. "We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, in His stead, be ye reconciled to God." Lay down your shotgun. Put up your sword. Surrender. Stack your arms. Bow to Christ. "For He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Isn't that good news? That verse 20, that's substitution. "For He hath made Him," Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we," you and I, "might be made the righteousness of God in him. My friend, I'm glad, I rejoice to believe and to preach all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, freedom from sin, life everlasting.